Anyway, we have one more storyteller this half. She is also a relative newcomer to your story. She is one of the creators of the amazing illustrated novel Taylor Swift Girl Detective, which was recently featured as a question answer on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is fucking cool. Please welcome to the stage Miss Larissa Zagaris.
Hi, thanks for coming tonight. I'm Larissa. I am honored to be part of this big celebration. When I drew my inspiration from the 5 years theme directly, I derived it directly from David Bowie. I wanted to prepare this wild performance with like little LED lights, and then I wanted to sneak these like magic cards in your coat pockets when you weren't looking, so that when I got to the point where you could say, now pray with me, love, you just like put your hands in your pockets and be like, oh, what's this magic? Who did this? I didn't. I had to pick up another shift at Starbucks. And I had no real energy because the world's a garbage fire right now. So, you know, all I could do is just show up tonight. But I committed to this, okay? And I already asked my friend Craig over there. Yeah! Everybody give it up for Craig. To play the whole spectacle of the song, which I did plan. So here we are. And now I will do my next best thing to giving you like a what I originally planned, which is like a mind-bending display of magic and wonder and inspire you in this darkest timeline. Tell a story about myself, obviously. All right. And David Bowie, but most of all myself. All right, okay. And before you get excited, I did not memorize any of this. I don't know if you could realize that. I didn't. I wrote it down with the power of voodoo. Who do you do?
Do what?
Yee-haw! I connected with someone. With the power of writing, I wrote this story with the power of writing. Here we go. Woo. Okay. So I grew up in Midlothian, Illinois. It's a blue-collar, super working-class suburb just southwest of Chicago. I'd like to say it's a town from a Springsteen song, minus the factory. It's definitely a town minus any aspects of a David Bowie song. Unless you count the rough parts from Life on Mars. And when I was growing up there in the late 80s and the 90s, it was a place that was kind of more to close-mindedness. You know, the Irish Catholic family legacies and the subpar high school football. Than to anything sensitive or artistic. As an adult, I know that was less due to a primal evil being slowly leached into the water source, and more because everyone was so damn overworked and underpaid. Still, Midlothian is and was the town that Pride built, not the town that crybaby art kids build. I was definitely a crybaby artsy kid. I mean, I was my town's Billy Elliot. But like a Billy Elliot who wasn't good at dancing? I was the Billy Elliot of having feelings. Feelings I wanted to share with everyone around me to trade and gather like pogs. Feelings that I thought I could build a bridge between me and us and everyone. Commonalities running through us all like gold seams through mountains of adversity. And this is not what happened. Instead, most of the kids in my town did what any kids worth their salt would do when they detected this kind of epic level of raw nerve in their midst. They poked it really hard. And the result was spending my tender youth crying literally everywhere a human being could cry, at almost all times, to the infinite frustration of well-meaning friends, family, the mental health staff at my school. And the silver lining on this fat black cloud holding court over my youth is that I got to retreat into the old sanctuary for sensitive artistic children everywhere. The movies! I thought we were going to say it together. Meeting David Bowie in the movie Labyrinth in these formative, creative crybaby years was key in my development of a strong sense of curiosity and self. And when my best friend, also a crybaby, and my sister, not a crybaby, and I first got our hands on Labyrinth, I felt that friction that we all feel when we meet someone who's important to us. That feeling where you just know someone is going to matter to you. Also, at first, I thought he was a she. A godmother, scary-ish lady with witchy killer hair and makeup, a jiggling codpiece and questionable moral compass notwithstanding. I took David Bowie for a female role model. A powerful weirdo I could look up to, emulate, and one day become. And then my mom told me, that's not a lady, Larissa. That's David Bowie. Okay, so the beautiful, scary-ish witch lady was a man. A man that seemed like he came from another planet, very far from my tired, tiny, overworked little town. A power weirdo I could look up to, emulate, and still one day become-ish. So flash forward to crybaby art kid teen years. Less crying, more eye makeup. I am confident. I am sassy. I am a 17-year-old wannabe filmmaker who's smarter than everyone else, and I work at Chuck E. Cheese. Where I once found my power source in raw feeling, now I find it writing in my journal, laughing with my friends, making out with my boyfriend, and spending my Chuck E. Cheese money, on gas and used CDs. I am better than everyone in my town, and I sing along at the top of my lungs to Ziggy Stardust to prove it. I use my infinite power of introspection to realize I am a unique space flower, and a unique space flower does not get watered here. I am confident now, and I use this confidence to claw my way out of my hometown and into outrageous debt and prestige at New York University. Yeah. See, college is the first place many people who think they need college to develop self-confidence and develop, I mean, really, any self-confidence. It's just where they learn how to be talented and skilled and sexy in their own way. They make some of the truest friends they might ever have in life, and they get on a career track that gets them to their ultimate gainful employment and thus satisfaction. Did that happen? Well, I did all that, and I choked. And now I'm surrounded by people who have never had to fight to be confident. They just were. Far from my blue-collar brethren's disdain for frivolous things, like art and feelings, I was suddenly surrounded by kids of the rich and famous who got rich and famous for being artistic. I went from feeling like the specialist space flower on the planet to common space weed. And a very poor one at that. Until I started having sex dreams about David Bowie. Again and again, night after night, Bowie gave me orgasms and life counsel. We hung out in his moon jacuzzi and talked about matters of life, art, my friends, my enemies. He told me not to worry that I was poor and that goals felt impossible to achieve. And then he licked the hell out of my ear. He had a breezy, seen it all, fuck it, and carry on attitude that was so unlike mine at the time that I think there was just some element of me tapping into his subconscious in these little sex and chats. I know it sounds a little wild, but I mean, a girl can dream, right? That's all I had. That's all I had. And you know, these dreams, they made me feel a little bit brighter. I was a little bit more in charge. And then when I woke up, I took that afterglow into my days. I got dream screwed by David Bowie, and my non-dreams self head screwed on straight. So confidence, that was mine again. And then one day, I ran into the man himself. Not in a dream, but on Broadway, and somewhere between Canal and Houston. My friends and I were walking to school when I saw Iman. And I was distracted by her just statuesque beauty and sort of body checked the dude who looked like David Bowie with her. And it was only after I apologized and the man said, "It's all right, hello," in a British accent. That was British. Then I realized the man who looked like David Bowie was actually David Bowie. And when the shock wore off about a block further up away from them, I was like one of the New Yorkiest things that ever happened to me. It was just accented by another one of the New Yorkiest things that happened to me. A group of construction workers who must have also run into David Bowie leaned over the fence and said, "How's David Bowie?" "David Bowie!" And my friends and I shouted back, "David Bowie!" And a group of strangers built a little bridge between each other by joyously shouting, "David Bowie!" into one another's faces. And since the man was only just a bit south from us, at this point, we were all treated to the sound of him faintly laughing as we walked away. Body checking David Bowie on the streets of New York was a big moment for me, a magic moment. Not because it was a celebrity encounter, but because it was a celebrity encounter with David Bowie. It made him a person instead of an alien, instead of a rock god or a goblin king. He was a living, breathing human being who slept and woke and ate and cried and farted, probably. But he was also David Bowie. I think of that moment a lot these days, so many years out of college. So many years of actively trying to be the Bowie-est version of myself. I've had some successes, sure, but I've watched so many friends far ellipse me and have success of their own. I've never made any money. I'm still essentially working at Chuck E. Cheese. And as thankful as I am for my current job and all that it's taught me, it's a far way off from paying from my own artist lab or my own moon jacuzzi. And when it comes to art, I make it, but I haven't made it. I made a lot of attempts, and I probably wasted a lot of time. Maybe it's more out of vanity than desire to grow or change or succeed. So many of my friends are like that too. And in a time where art making seems important and maybe a way to communicate ideas that makes everyone bristle or shut down or shut people out, it just also seems silly. There's so much else to do. Why pour so much energy into the weird things you happened to be good at when you were a kid? We all have to turn and face the strange. I mean, time may change me, but I can't trace time and that. But maybe that's the gift of Bowie, though. Knowing he existed, and existing during some of the same time he did gives us the pleasure of trying to be as Bowie as we can be. Even if we're all just crybaby art baby kids, babies, babies. We're just babies doomed to fail. We do art and we fail. Thank you.
Oh, bollocks!
What's that? Who are you?
He said that. I did. Well, we did, if you want to get technical. Well, he's a bit more temporally unified version of us. We're earlier in the timeline, you see? And I'm the main Bowie to you, babe. Because he was your first Bowie. I can't believe you thought I was a bird flattery.
Is Aladdin Sane Bowie trying to talk sense to me right now?
Halloween Jack, I know you're sad, darling, but let's not add insult to injury. Sounds like you think you're at some magic age where you ought to have it all done and sorted, when really that's no age at all. Unless you know death is imminent and you decide to release a final masterwork before expiring.
No.
The day after your birthday, yes. Oh. All right, don't let's be smug about it then. There are versions of myself, yeah? All of these versions, they all thought they were it until they just weren't. Until it was time for the next thing. The next costume change.
Yeah, but those are just versions of you. I mean, you're rock god versions of you. I'm not a
bloody rock god, please. Oh, we are! Yes, we are! We are! Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
People forget about how many times their gods cocked it up. And bloody hell, I cocked it up. People forget failures and worship glory and doom themselves to diamond dust when they could be a diamond dog scrapping it out in the thick of it just the same. Don't you remember? I was a fascist for a year.
What?
All the cocaine. I talked so much nonsense on television. I made that wretched video with Mick. I never wrote my memoirs. I named my kid Zoe, for Christ's sake. And you tried to do that internet thing. Yeah, Bowie net, yes. Rub salt right in the wound. But this is all part of it, love. The failure and the struggle and success is all part of it. That's life. It's beautiful and it's yours. And the only way you can waste it is to pretend the highs and lows of it belong to somebody else.
Somebody else like gods?
The gods are other, more successful people. Yeah, look, life is what you do with the glorious afterglow of failure, the success after that. Then you fail again and succeed. It's all water for the space flower, babe.
Water for the space flower.
That's the spirit!
Yeah.
Life, a familiar pattern of win, lose, shot through with moments of glorious release. Like drugs.
Yeah.
Or sex. Or a song. And Craig Badney, everyone.
Craig Badney!